Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio discussing Terra Rise Bible Study, Tell It Well. And praise God, we've made it through 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're on our third
week. We're on our third week of Acts chapter 6, which is amazing, talking about having a walk of authenticity will increase the word of God.
It does. It does. In fact, it's amazing. When it says in verse 7, it says, so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
I love that.
And that's what I really want us to focus in on. So you can catch up and know what we're talking about. We're in Acts 6 in the Bible, and this is the choosing of the seven because the Grecian Jews were concerned their widows, where that came from. My daughter told me, Mom, you don't know how to enunciate.
It's okay. You're from Texas.
She goes, you enunciate on the wrong syllable. give me a break. And so it's in the choosing that for the widows that they needed seven men who were full of the Spirit and full of wisdom that were known for these qualities. And when they did this, and after they had laid hands on them, the word of God spread. And they didn't do anything different. They were just ministering to the tables, to the widows. But see, because these were men that were full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. What is wisdom? The fear of the Lord. And the Spirit is who guides us in all truth. As they began to minister to those widows and as their needs began to taken care of, what widow is not going to go out and praise the young man for what he did? You know those widows were going out, oh, you know, that Procurius, he was so wonderful at the table. He took care of my needs. I used to go hungry, but I don't anymore. And as they met the physical needs of the widows, the word went out.
I love that.
It brought increase. It blows my mind how God, you know, just somebody who's willing to be faithful. And so what I want us to look at is I want us to see that a walk of authenticity prioritizes. First week, we looked at how a walk of authenticity will guard the ministry of prayer and the word. The second week, we looked at how it handles conflict. And then this week, we're going to look at how it prioritizes. And so there is a systematic order of how they work through what they did. And we went through last week talking in detail about how they just went in and they listened, they reasoned, they gathered the group, they talked about it, they chose the men, they prayed over the men. There was an order that went to it. And this is profound because God is a God of order.
Yes, He is.
And if we go through Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and as you examine or I examine the Word of God, we will find that there's incredible amounts of order written in here. Order that we can't even begin to comprehend. Order that it takes scientists and mathematicians to figure some of the things out. Order with lettering and wording. One aspect of order that has always blown my mind away in the Pentateuch, the first two books point to the middle book, and the last two books point to the middle book as far as the wording and in the Hebrew, if you take the words, certain letters, it will actually spell out Yahweh pointing in. It's amazing. I mean, and it's just like one of those mathematical things of order that it has within the Bible that's just until a mathematician gets a hold of it, you don't even see it. And I was thinking this the other day, and that when a preacher was preaching on the radio, and I can't even remember who it was. Anyhow, he was talking about how when you reflect on community, and community in the body of Christ is meant to be of one spirit, and you can't have community without unity.
Right.
That is one.
It's huge.
That is one aspect of order, because if you think about it, that is a biblical truth. Jesus prayed for us to have a spirit of oneness. In John 17. And yet here in the English language, community has to have unity for it to be. That's just one aspect of how God's order is even revealed in other languages that it wasn't even written in. And, you know, as he was preaching, I thought, God, you know, that's just one more aspect of how you make your order. And what about the order of animals and creatures and bugs and stuff? And they say if one dies, you know, it could affect the whole food chain of an animal, you know, species and stuff. And so there is great order that God has created, and he has done that within the church. And in the choosing of the seven, that reveals it. But the thing that I want us to focus in on as it prioritizes is the focus on spirit and prayer. And it was prayer and then the spirit of the word, you know, and the word of God. And the thing that occurred to me is that they were full of the spirit and they were full of wisdom. It represents their character. It reveals their character. And this is important. But character without the spirit of God has no impact. Okay? If a person is a good moral person, a person who is full of character, they can go out and they can do a lot of good.
Right.
But when it is coupled with, married to, mm-hmm. led by the Holy Spirit, that's powerful and that's effective. Let's look. It says in verse 8, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs amongst the people." Stephen here is full of God's grace and wonders. And he is revealing that it's the character plus the spirit that really makes a difference. And it says in here that as the opposition arose, that as they watched him, that they couldn't resist the things that he said. They began to have a dialogue with him. And I was looking it up in the Quest Study Bible, actually this morning, and they asked the question, why did they want to fight with Stephen? Why Stephen out of all the guys? And the Quest Study Bible says that Stephen was most likely, as he was talking to these freedmen, which were former slaves, I'm going to read it to you exactly how it says. It says, he had apparently insisted that true worship no longer required temple rites. And these former slaves, finally back in their ancestral home, did not take kindly to these threats to traditional Judaism. And so that's why they were angry, is they finally were back into their place of comfort. And here he's messing with their comfort and saying that, you know, they have greater freedom, which is kind of almost kind of funny, ironic, because their name is the freedmen, you know, because they're slaves that have been freed. And yet they've moved into a spirit of bondage, and he's trying to show them how to get out of that bondage. But they're not willing to leave their bondage. That's a terrible place to be.
But it's everywhere.
You know, that's exactly it. And but they could not resist what was happening with him. They could not deny what he was before them. And so as they began to do that, they were so blown away by who he was that they had to do something to fight him.
Right.
Okay. And so this is where we're going to start focusing in on how the conflict goes on the outside, how conflict on the outside moves on the inside. And we had talked about that conflict from the outside, persecution, causes the church to grow. Well, we know for a fact that when conflict on the inside is handled well, Scripture shows us right here in verse 7 that the word of God will spread and it will cause an increase. And it says that even the priests became obedient to the faith. And I ask in the Bible study, why is it important for us to understand that obedience is an important act, part of our walk? Why would that be important to know that that needs to be a part of a person's character? Why is obedience an important factor?
Because when you obey, you trust.
Okay, and where is your trust?
Where is my trust coming from?
What is your trust in?
The Lord and in the Word of God.
Okay, but the freedmen, I'm gonna play.
No,
you're fine. What you said is true.
Okay.
But I'm gonna take in another fact. The freedmen felt that they were being obedient to the Jewish law. And so we have Stephen coming in full of grace and power, revealing to them the freedom they have been given in Christ. And they are willing to stay in the bondage that they have and staying obedient to what they have as bondage. And he's trying to show them the freedom that they can have. And it is in the sharing of their faith. Huge. It's the sharing of their faith. And faith is an important factor because with the faith is a revelation of what's going on inside. Okay? A person's measure of faith, when we are out looking, as those men were looking at Stephen, and they are examining us, watching us. Okay? They said,
so this is like a non-believer looking at a believer.
Yeah. Your faith, my faith, will reveal what is inside. Okay?
Okay.
When the Grecian Jews complained that their widows' needs weren't being met, the faith that was revealed, what was inside the apostles, was good reasoning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Stephen is going out and he's acting responsibly, taking care of the widows, and his faith is revealing what's inside him. And it says they can't even resist it. They can't argue with what he is saying. And that's an important factor for us to understand. I wrote out in the workbook about the importance of sharing faith. And one of the things, the questions that I take and I ask you to think through and examine is how that faith impacts our obedience. Can you have obedience if you don't have faith?
Yes.
You can, but it may not be obedient to the right thing.
Exactly. I mean, it's just like the freedmen. They were obedient to the law.
Right. Right, exactly. And faith is what, in seeing what we cannot see, okay? Faith is in what we cannot.
The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
That's exactly right. As they obey, it strengthens them, okay?
Right.
And as that obedience increases, faith increases. And so what's happening is Stephen's increase, his measure of faith is increasing. And this is going to be crucial as we go into next month, as we look at what happens.
Chapter 7.
Right, as he is faced by his accusers for his walk. And I mean, he gets up and he boldly testifies. In fact, he almost stories the whole Old Testament story to them and says, you know this. I mean, we'll look at that next week. And so the authenticity, what's going to happen is that it will be known to not just the insiders, but what we've seen is that it's moved to where even the outsiders, and the evidence of that faith is revealed. And the key that we have to remember is that faith that is on the inside will be seen on the outside. And so those watching us will not see a faith that is bold and strong or full of grace and power if it's not something that's already inside us. We can't give what we do not have. And that's the reason why the apostle said, you have to make sure that these are men who are known for this. Because if they allowed men that just went in and served the tables, it would be very easy for somebody to go in and selfishly serve, and we'd begin to minister in a way that would not be in a Christ-like manner. And so that's what caused these freedmen, you know, working out with Stephen in the argument as they go through. And he's telling them how they can have the freedom, and the argument begins to happen. And they're just blown away. It says, but they could not stand up against the wisdom of the Spirit by whom he spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an amazing thing that happens. And as they do this, the obedience and the faith is coming out of Stephen. It increases within them that they've got to put a stop to it. And it says that they begin to secretly persuade men to say, we have heard Stephen speak blasphemy against Moses and against God. Hmm. Now, the question is why do they say Moses?
Because they believe in the law.
Right.
So Old and Testament.
Moses, who is the one who delivered the Ten Commandments, right, gave the law. They hold him in high esteem. And I think it is highly ironic that the very thing that they cause as an attack upon Stephen for what he is doing is the very thing that they are doing.
Yeah.
And many commentators say that when you examine, starting here about verse 8 on through chapter 7, that if you look at the attack that falls on Stephen, that it's actually almost like a mirror of what happened with Christ. And then the false accusers coming and the accusations that are made, and the very accusations that are being made are actually the very sins that they are falling prey to, that the accusers are falling prey to, not Stephen. And we'll see in chapter 7 that Stephen will end up putting this back in their face. He will tell them that you know, you say this, but it's actually you who has rejected him. And And so they are looking and they accuse him, and they have equated Moses to God. I mean, Moses and God. That's huge. And that you showing that their faith is off, and it is the focus on the law. And the other thing that I want us to catch as we look at this is that as we go about and as we bring the increase to the Word of God, and as the enemy watches, it says that they began the process of not just the secret persuasion. It's not just a hidden. It begins to then become more public. So it first started off, they're going to secretly persuade people and say, you know, he's kind of going against Moses and God. It's kind of hidden. But then they take it a step further when it begins to increase in their attack and wanting to go against Stephen. And it says that they stir up the people, not just the people, but the elders and the teachers of the law. And Moses is the other person in Scripture that's talked about as having his face shine. Mm-hmm. You know,
in Numbers 6, 20.
In
2 through 24, I think it was.
In Numbers?
Isn't it in the book of Numbers? Make your face shine up.
Well,
no, that's Exodus, just a scripture. Never yeah, mind.
That's
it says,
all right.
Make your face, will you please? It's a prayer.
Yes.
Make your face shine upon us.
Yes.
So never
okay.
mind.
No, that's all right. It would be in Exodus 34.
Okay.
And then 29 in verse 35. And he is the other person in scripture that talks about his face shining. Why did Moses' face shine?
The Shekinah glory.
It was the Shekinah glory.
Just, I mean, he shined because the Lord shined.
Okay.
Wasn't it almost like.
Well, when Moses went up the mountain. Off. Was he face to face with God?
Yeah, I think he was bowed down. I can't remember.
Well, he went up, and the Lord says to him, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground.
Yeah.
And then God passes within the cleft of the rock because you can't see the face of God. But he was in the presence of holy God.
Mm.
And because he was with Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, the presence of God, literally, it was evident to all when he would come off the mountain that he had been in the presence of God. Interestingly, that as time passed and he had not been in the presence of God, his face no longer shined. And it was evident that his face was no longer shining. And so he would put a veil on so that people couldn't see. Stephen, however, is walking in grace and power. And as they are watching him, they are seeing that his face is shining. Now you need to come back next week so that we can talk about shining the sun joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless.